Cape Talk, the travel feature.
And this travel feature is brought to you by the Nedbank Travel Card. Get up to 8 locked-in currencies. See money differently. Nedbank. Now, the experience of being in the bush is so quintessentially South African, and it is something that was so special in my own very fortunate childhood. I have memory after memory of piling the entire extended family into my granddad's car and slowly and painstakingly making our way from East London all the way to the Kruger National Park. And there it would be early morning game drives, followed by boerewors rolls cooked on the skottel, fighting off the toucans who were trying to steal your breakfast. They're magical memories for me, magical moments. And that trip from the Eastern Cape was no joke, though. To get from East London to the Kruger National Park took minimum 2 days, always included at least one puncture on the way and another one on the way back. Remember, there was no aircon in those days. It was quite a trek. These days, of course, we would have had so many other options to go and visit within the Eastern Cape because of the expansion and proliferation of regional parks in the area. And of all of those facilities, perhaps none of them is more prestigious than Shamwari Game Reserve. I've never had the opportunity to visit this reserve. I'm hoping I'm going to hear from some of you who have been to share with us your experience and leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Shamwari's just undergone a refurbishment, and it's about much more than just giving a facelift to the guest facilities. There are also some quite exciting new developments in terms of their conservation activities. So it's a great pleasure to have with us on the line the CEO of Shamwari Game Reserve, Joe Clutie. Joe, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Papa. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the reserve? I think it was 1990 that you were founded.
We opened our doors on the 10th of October 1992, although the first land was acquired in 1990.
Okay.
Yep, and we basically took old agricultural farms in the Eastern Cape and tried to bring back all the animal species that used to be here. I think a fact about the Eastern Cape that people don't know is that it used to be one of the richest wildlife zones in terms of diversity in Southern Africa. And then obviously man arrived and a man's development ideas, et cetera, clashed with the wildlife, with the result that most of the species in the Eastern Cape were obliterated in the late 1700s and early 1800s.
Sure. Terrible story, but wonderful to be able to say that you have played a huge role in trying to recreate that biodiversity and bring it back again. Talk to us a little bit about what was involved in getting the reserve set up, Joe.
Okay, well, what we did is we had to go and do some research, first of all, and find out which animal species occurred in the Eastern Cape. If you think about it, the lion is referred to as the Cape Lion. The lion was first seen in the Eastern and Western Cape, mm-hmm. long before the Kruger National Park was even discovered. The buffalo is referred to as the Cape Buffalo. You've got the Cape Leopard. So a lot of these species were here, the big five plus more. Mm. So the Eastern Cape also was home to both the black and the white rhino in those years. And sadly, a lot of those animals, as I said, were obliterated through, a lot of it through hunting, etc. So we had established what species occurred here. But first we had to secure the land. We then had to rehabilitate the land. And that's taken place over 20, 25 years, yeah. Buying up old farms, etc. There were some very severe droughts in the Eastern Cape, so land became available. And we had to put in an infrastructure. We had to put in fencing, electrified fencing around the perimeter, get the water holes going, rehabilitate roads that were in the incorrect places. And then you start by the introduction of the various prey species. So by prey species, I mean you've got to bring in the antelope first, mm-hmm. and some of the major herbivores like elephant and rhino and buffalo, et cetera, et cetera. And in the late 1999 to the 2000s, I think we started introducing the various cats back into the Eastern Cape, like lion. Leopard have always been here, but we brought back more leopard, cheetah, caracal, dana, hyena, etc., etc. And today, we're actually in a situation whereby we're very close to the maximum carrying capacity of our elephant species and rhinos, etc. So it's been a major success story, and we will continue to find more land and expand the green belt.
Okay, so it's not a complete process yet. How big do you intend to get, Joe? Is it purely dependent on how much land becomes available?
Yeah, we'd probably like to get to about 40,000 hectares if we could. They've got some natural barriers on either side of the game reserve. There's a tar road on one side and there's a railway line. But, I mean, we can cross those or move into those areas. But, you know, that's not impossible. And then there's a lot of other private reserves that have also developed in Eastern Cape around us. So who knows? You know, maybe one day there'll be a collaboration and fences will be dropped and you'll have a major sort of wildlife conservation area in Eastern Cape. The only challenge there is you've got to get the various owners around the table and get them to agree, which will be challenging. But anyway, as far as Shamari is concerned, we would like to get to about 40,000, 45,000 acres if we could.
And what's the current size, Joe?
We're at 25,000.
You're at 25,000 now. Okay, so there is quite substantial potential for growth if you can acquire the land. I hear Big Five Reserve. I hear you talking about rhinos. I'm sure lots of people are wondering how you deal with the threat of poaching. Joe, has it been a big issue for you in the past? And B, can you talk to us about what steps you take to mitigate against it?
Yeah, look, the threat against rhino is absolutely massive. It must not be understated. It is a huge concern throughout South Africa. There are lots of syndicates involved. They move around. We have a security bill of close to 5 million rand a year, which we didn't have six, seven years ago. You've got to protect your species. Full moon is a very, very dangerous period where they use the natural light to infiltrate and they can see in the bush. So we've had to put in but we put in a lot of systems. There's a lot of trained anti-poaching personnel, cameras, drones, etc. being used. Everything that is possible that helps us, we're trying to put in place so we can prevent. As opposed to being reactive, we would rather be proactive.
Having said that, have you lost any of your rhinos to poachers?
Yeah, we've lost the first rhino in Eastern Cape, I think, in 2008. Mm. And the most recent one, recent rhino we lost was in February this year. But we were very lucky. We managed to catch two syndicates over the last 18 months. They were in jail. The first syndicate got sentenced about 2 or 3 months ago. They got 25 years in jail because they were found guilty of 14 different cases of poaching, and the other syndicate's case is coming up shortly. So we've had some success, but it remains a massive problem, and we have to be alert, and we have to be proactive.
I'm sure there are many listeners pumping a fist in the air to hear about that 25-year sentence. Thanks for telling us that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the visitor experience, Joe. Is the reserve one where self-drive is possible, or is it only on a structured, guided game drive basis? What can a visitor expect?
Yeah, no, it's a private game reserve, so it's on a guided visitor basis. So there's a selection of lodges that the guests could choose from. You then come and stay one night or two nights, and then we would take you out. The qualified guides would take you out on your morning drives. They take you out on guided walks. They take you out on your evening and your night drives, etc. So that's how a private reserve offers. We unfortunately do not have the self-drive option. Mm-hmm. That's normally reserved in the sort of national parks adjacent to Shamari, like Addo Elephant Park, etc.
Okay. Now, I mentioned at the start that you've just undergone a big refurbishment of those lodges as well as introducing a new wildlife rehab centre. Let's start with the lodges themselves. What have you done there, Joe?
Well, in 2018, we started with the refurbishment of a lodge called Eagle's Crag, which is one of our premier lodges. That was a four-month process, which we completed at the end of September. It reopened in October 2018. And that's been very, very well received. And then very large part of our business is family travel. So we refurbished a lodge called Riverdene Family Lodge, also in the May to October period last year, and we reopened that in October. And we created a really, really exceptional kids' adventure center there where you can do zip lining, rock wall climbing, sliding, everything to keep the kids busy. And what we do is we take kids of 4 years and older on safari. That's the right age, we believe. Kids younger than four will stay behind at the lodge, and they'll be looked after by childminders. But family travel is a huge part of our business. It's becoming more and more important as both local and international families travel. People don't have that much time to travel as a family. So we've created these experiences, and the whole experience is aimed at the child as opposed to the parent.
Love it. Okay. Craig, can you give us Joe, can you give us a sense of the kind of rate that is charged for, say, a family of four to spend a night at that family lodge and what that would include?
Yeah, look, the prices in a private garden of Lakshamari are pretty expensive for the bulk of South Africans. These are very, very expensive products to maintain. Yeah. I'm just like a point up front. So we put out tactical and strategic offers generally in the periods from sort of May through to September, October, which is our downtime. In the periods from November through to March, that's when we get the bulk of our international visitors are obviously escaping,
yeah,
you know, the northern hemisphere winters. But the rates per person in this period, which are is in your May till sort of September period, the rates probably in the vicinity of about 5,500 to 6,000 rand per person per night. Okay, that's an all-inclusive rate. Kids under 12 pay 50%, and kids under 4 are free of charge.
Sure.
So it is expensive. I do understand that for the bulk of the South African market. But, you know, we have to look at a sustainable model that works for us. So, you know, guests should look out for tactical offers available on the website. We're forever doing that from time to time.
I just want to mention there's a 30% off offering on right now for the winter month. So well worth checking out the website if you are interested. And as you point out, that's an all-inclusive rate, Joe. So it's your game drives, your catering, your accommodation, everything included.
Yeah, it's all-inclusive, two game drives a day, your accommodation, your three meals a day, teas, coffees, and selected beverages as well.
Okay. Now, part of the recent revamp has been the opening of a new wildlife rehabilitation center. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening there?
Yeah, that center we reopened opened a week ago. It's come about because there's been a massive need for injured wild animals. And we have a full-time veterinary team at Shamari, headed up by Dr. DeBerry. He's a very well-known wildlife vet and a vet nurse and our ecologist. So he gets inundated, has been inundated with requests to, you know, for injured animals. And our policies, Dr. Jabir will have a look at the situation. If we believe we can help an animal, we will take the animal in, but with the sole purpose of putting that animal back in the wild. So these are rehabilitation centers, and it's done on that basis that we make a sincere attempt to get the animal back into the wild. And sometimes it's quite difficult.
Okay. One thing we haven't spoken about is outside the Big Five, what one can expect to see at Shamwari. You said that you started with the antelope, with the elephants. Talk to us a little bit about how many species are actually present in the park, Joe, including the birds.
Yeah, there's about, 275 bird species that have been identified currently. Other than the Big Five, there's both black and white rhino, there's 17 different antelope species, there's giraffe, there's black wildebeest, there's hippo, there's zebra, there's brown hyena. The two species that we haven't brought back are the spotted hyena. We need to get a little bit bigger for that. And we'd want to bring back the wild dog. And the wild dog actually used to be called the Cape hunting dog, funny enough.
That's right.
But to be able to do that, we need to get our land size a little bit bigger. We need to get to about the 40,000 hectare mark, yeah.
Because they need huge hunting grounds, don't they?
Correct, yeah. Yeah. So the diversity that you can see in the Eastern Cape is actually more than what you can see in the Kruger National Park in terms of different species. And that's a fact that very few people know. So there's a very, very diverse area from an ecological perspective and from an animal and bird perspective.
Okay. Any other highlights of the Shamwari experience that I haven't touched on that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Yes, I think, other than the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center that we've just referred to, we also have two Born Free centers based in Shamwari. Now, everybody knows the movie Born Free, made famous by the actress Virginia McKenna. So we partner with the Born Free Foundation that are based in the UK, and we rescue African cats from captive situations around the world. So from circuses or zoos, or even from private homes. I mean, we're busy with a rescue at the moment that may take place towards the latter part of this year, where we're going to rescue some lions from Paris, from some apartment, you know, believe it
what?
Or not. So, yeah, you won't believe it. But so we take in these African cats. They can unfortunately not be released back into the wild because, you know, the human imprint is already there. They've lost their fear of man, and they'll probably be killed by the wild animals very, very quickly. But they're far better off in these sanctuaries, which visitors can go and see. And they get, you know, excellent veterinary care. They get fed well. And we put about 400 to 500 school children a month through this program at the Born Free Centers to educate them about wild animals having to remain in the wild, because that's the motto of the Born Free Foundation, which ties in with the Shamwari motto, which is conserving a vanishing way of life. So the Born Free Centre is something that guests can visit. The Rehab Centre is something that they can do after their morning drive. There's guided walks. Then we also have an Explorer Camp program, which runs from October till the end of May, which is a dedicated walking trail camp. You take out a maximum of 6 guests, and you do everything on foot with highly qualified guides. So that's really an experience that is becoming more and more popular, to get out there on foot and not sit in a vehicle.
That's incredible. Okay, and I love the fact that you're keeping it that small, so it really is a very intimate, close-to-nature experience. Okay, you've told us about the many activities for children and teens and the fact that this is a family-friendly resort. Last question is about access to Shamwari. For those listening to you here in Cape Town, do most of your visitors fly into Port Elizabeth and drive from there? What's the easiest way to get to the reserve?
Yeah, we're less than an hour's drive from Port Elizabeth Airport if they need to fly, so... you know, Port Elizabeth is an hour and 10 minutes from Cape Town and an hour and a half flight from Johannesburg, so very, very, very accessible. It being a malaria-free area, obviously, is another reason for family travel. And it's less than an hour's drive from Port Elizabeth Airport, so very accessible.
Somebody, Stephen, on the WhatsApp line asking whether you have an airstrip where one can fly oneself into the reserve. Is that there?
Yes, we do have an airstrip. It's 1.1 kilometers long. It's a gravel compacted one, so we can take planes like King Airs or Pilates can land there, so anything that can land within about a kilometre. And we get regular charter flights that come in.
Okay. Final question, Joe, is the website address for our listeners who'd like to check out those special 30% off winter deals that are running and just read up more about Shamwari. What's the website address?
www.shamwari.com. It's all there for you.
Joe Clutie, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. CEO of Shamwari Game Reserve. Our best wishes to you and your team for the future of the park and those big plans for expansion. I love the concept of dropping the fences and creating a massive wildlife space in the Eastern Cape. If you can get that right, it would be an absolutely amazing thing to see happen. So good luck to you and the team. And still would love to hear from anybody who has had a visit to Shamwari and had the privilege of experiencing the reserve, who wants to tell us a bit more. You can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567.